Next week, we're going to, it's Father's Day, we'll honor our fathers, and I'm going to play a video next week. I guarantee you, you're going to need a box of Kleenex. It's just a really, really powerful video. Some of you may have seen it. I'm just preparing you for next week. It's going to be, a great time as we explore what God needs. But we have a transition of one week in between the previous series and the Father's Day, and then we launch into a summer 10 weeks of sermons out of the Psalms. But today we're going to be in Philippians. If you want to turn to Philippians 1, we'll be there in just a few minutes. And the title for my sermon is, I'm Not Finished With You Yet, and I think that's a message all of us need to know, that God is not finished with us. We live in difficult times. We are an impatient people. We want God to act, and we want Him to act right now. We want Him to act in the way that we want Him to act and do what we want Him to do, not what He wants to do. In the madness of life, there are some who would even go so far as to think that maybe God is out to lunch, or at best, uninterested in our lives. But I want to tell you, He is deeply interested in your life. You may wonder what your purpose is, but I have good news for you. God cares very much about every detail of your life. And in his wonderful letter, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he expresses to them how deeply he loves them and how deeply God loves them. He writes from 700 miles away, he is in prison. He is in prison. And if you read the four chapters of the book of Philippians, which, by the way, is my favorite book in all of the entire Bible, you'll find the theme is the word joy. And it's kind of shocking to us that joy would be the key word for a guy writing from prison. He sends a letter through a man named Epaphroditus. And one of the things that he's trying to communicate to them is that God has some special things to do in your life. The other day, I met with a family. I was doing a funeral for their sister, and I was meeting with the family at the funeral home, and it's a rather sad, obviously a sad and somber time, and they're sharing stories about her, and I get into my truck, and I turn the key on, and I hear these words on the radio. He's the peace in the madness that you can't explain. He's the hope in the heartbreak, the rest in the suffering. He's closer than the air you breathe. From the start to the end, to the between. Dare you doubt even for a moment what he started in you? Yes, he's going to finish. And I thought, wow. That is a God thing, and I'm going to say this several times today. This is a God thing, that God would put that song, which came out on Wednesday on the radio at the very moment I got into my truck, and the words were so comforting for that family, and the words were so appropriate for what I want to preach about today. So yesterday I was riding to Dodge to go to Daryl Hopkins' sister's funeral. And I was listening to the same radio station, and they were talking about this new song by a group called Unspoken. And every time we have unspoken prayers, I think of the singing group Unspoken. And they said, we released the song for the first time on Wednesday. We released the video yesterday. And I thought, I've got to see this video. So I came to the office when I got back in town, and Karen happened to be there. And I said, Karen, you got to watch this video. I said, this is a God thing. Now, I had already told Barb and Andrea that there were not going to be any videos in the sermon. Yeah. They've already learned to not trust Bob when he says that. Because I want to tell you, this is a God thing, this video. And I'm also going to tell you that those of you who have small children, do not attempt what goes on in the video, because those are stunt people doing those videos. So I don't want any of you trying any of the things. But you're going to realize as we go through the sermon how this video just strikes at every point of my sermon. This is a God thing. Play the video.
Seasons of winter, and you'd give anything to feel the sun. Always reaching, always climbing, always second guessing the timing. But God has a plan, a purpose in this. You are His child, and don't you forget. He put that hunger in your heart. He put that fire in your soul. His love is the reason to keep on. Of heaven, we would see His hand on everything, every hour, every minute, every second. He's always been in it. Don't let a shadow of a doubt take hold. Hold on to what you already know.
God thing. As I share in my sermon, point after point, you'll see why that video is so apropos. Sometimes in life, we want to do things our way. We wonder if God even cares. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Philippi, Philippians 1, 3-6. Listen to these words. I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Notice the first thing he says is he remembers them, and every time he remembers them with joy. Now, I don't know how your memory is. Some of us sometimes struggle with memory. I saw this cute cartoon. The ladies are going to put it up on the screen. Guy's at a Forgetful Folks support group. He says, "Hi, my name is Ken. I'm forgetful." They said, "Hi, Larry." That's funny, folks. I'm sorry. That's just funny. Ever been forgetful? Ever done something foolish because you didn't remember to do this or do that? Recently, we had a men's night at the movies. So I took Clark and Adam, and we went to the movie The Endgame, which is a superhero movie. Almost, it's important that you realize this, almost 3 hours long. Yes, I stayed awake through most of it, let's put it that way. It's a long movie. We came out of the movie. We were in a hurry. Now, you have to understand, this was a very, very popular movie, and we were in a hurry because we wanted to get our popcorn and our soft drinks, and we wanted to get in our seats, and we knew there was going to be a crowd, so we were in a hurry. And so we go into the movie. We come out of the movie 3 hours later, and we're walking to my truck. And I said, "That's interesting. My truck lights are on. Oh, I wonder if I hit the button on my key fob to start my truck." And we got closer to the truck, and I said, "Well, that's interesting. The truck engine is running." I got into the truck, and the truck had been running for 3 hours. With the lights on, because I didn't remember to hit the off button. I know that because I just filled the tank up with gas, and the dashboard said you can go 395 miles on this tank of gas. And when I got back in the truck after the movie, it said you can go 305 miles. I had burned 90 miles of gas while we watched this movie because I didn't remember to hit the button. But not Paul. He remembers them all, and he remembers them with joy, and he prays with joy because of these things, because it is a partnership. He views it in a partnership relationship, which leads me to my first point. Being a follower of Christ is a shared experience. If you're keeping notes, being a follower of Christ is a shared experience. You are not in this alone. I love the video. Because when she got ready to jump off the cliff, who stopped her? Her father. When she went up into the air with the balloons, she wasn't up there alone. The Father was with her in the balloons. Christ says the same thing to you and me. Being a Christ follower, we are not alone. You can choose to live your life as a hermit and not allow anyone into your life. Or you can share life in this partnership we call the Christian life. It is to be lived in relationship with him and with each other. We need to learn to allow people to share our journey. When I first came here a year and a half ago, my friend Rusty told me that he had cancer. And we began to talk, and I told him that I would go, and if there was any way that I could help him, I would be there for him. And so when he went to the doctor for the last time, he asked if I would go. And we sat there as the doctor laid it all out and basically said, Rusty, there's nothing more we can do. Rusty allowed me to come alongside him. He's my partner in the cause of Christ. You are my partner in the cause of Christ, and we have to look at each other. We have to understand that we're not in this alone. Christ is with us, God is with us, but we're in it together. And point B, we are to remain faithful. Notice that he says he's a partnership from the very beginning to the end. It doesn't have a 6-month expiration date. We're called to remain faithful. That's it. Sunday school lesson this morning. Remain faithful. And we read the story of the faithful women. God has called us to remain faithful. 1989, I was going through a particularly frustrating ministry. Sometimes as students, you're in churches that are difficult, and that's why you're there. And I was, Brenda and I and Clark were in a church in East Tennessee, and we were there while I was finishing up my master's. And it was a very difficult church. I can't tell you how difficult it was. I just can't. After a particularly difficult board meeting, I was venting to one of my preacher friends at another church in Kingsport, and he also was a student. And Steve said, "Bob, we just have to remember that God did not call us," and I'll never forget these words. He said, "Remember that God did not call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful." Wow. Hit me right between the eyes. And so we finished our time there and went back to Oregon. But I'll never forget those words. God has called us to be faithful. And we're faithful to the very end. Point number two. It is God who began a good work in you. So what is that good work? That good work is your life. And it started in you. I want to use an image that I think most of us can relate to. It's the image of dancing. It's the image of life I want us to look at today. By the way, we have a couple whose relationship actually started to really get blossoming after a dance. I have permission to tell this story, so I'm not just telling stuff out of school here. I'm going to watch him to make sure there's no arsenic put in my lasagna today when we're eating lunch. But I want you to picture 71 years ago going to a dance in Holcomb, Kansas. And this young guy named Burl Loving walks into the dance. And they're having a dance contest. And Marie is out on the dance floor with another guy. And she is doing the jitterbug. Now, if any of you want lessons on how to do the jitterbug, just talk to Marie. She informed me yesterday her dancing shoes are long gone. But on that day, Marie won the dance contest. And ultimately, she won the heart of Burl Loving. And they got married shortly after there, almost 71 years ago. God has a dance for you and me, and here is the question. Will you join God in the dance called life? And then the second question is, will you also let him lead in this dance called life? God says, here's a dance, but you must let me lead. You see, his life is not contingent on us joining the dance. Ours, however, is totally contingent on us joining the dance with him. Point A. It's not about me. It's about him. Some of us might respond, you know, I don't have my dance moves down yet. Let me learn them first, and then I'll get back to you. He says, no, you don't have to have your life together first. Let me lead, and I'll straighten out your mess that you call your life. That's good news for most of us whose lives are sometimes pretty messed up. All we have to do is submit. All we have to do is let him take the lead. But ultimately, it's not about me. It's about him and letting him lead. Point B, little slight twist here. It's not just about me. It's not just about me. You see, Paul didn't write the letter to Epaphroditus. He wrote the letter to the Christians at Philippi. He wrote it to the entire community of faith. And he isn't saying to Bob and Vaughn alone, let me lead. He's saying to our entire church family, let me lead. He's saying to our church board, let me lead. He's saying to our deacons, let me lead. He's saying to your family, let me lead. So the key question is, are you letting God lead your life, or are you still leading? Are there areas in your life that you've not submitted to him? Leads us to point number three. It is God who will be there till the end. It is God who will be there till the end. He's there from day one. That partnership began in day one, and it goes to the very end. You see, people are going to fail you. People will fall short. People will forget. We get our projects going, and you know, I'm just going to put it out there. How many projects do we have that we started years ago that still aren't finished? How about that car that we were going to remodel or repair and it's still needing to be fixed? Or that room or garage that needed to be cleaned out, it still needs to be cleaned out. And sometimes life gets in the way. We have a divorce that distracts us from life, or the sickness that we hadn't expected. We lose our job, or we're just trying to restore relationships. You see, life gets in the way, and sometimes we get off track on the dance, but Christ says, let me lead you from the beginning to the end. You see, you can take that to the bank. God says, from day one to the very end, I will be there. We must admit that we have been doing, for some of us, the wrong dance. We've been doing our dance, and God wants to dance in a different direction. We need to make that change. We need to turn the leading over to him so he can complete his work in us. We need to get out of the way, literally out of the way, so God can do what only God can do. When I talk about God things, these are things only God can do. And many of you have told me in the almost year and a half that we have been together, many of you have told me, that's a God thing, that's a God thing, that's a God thing. This is what I'm talking about. Getting out of the way and letting God lead us. You see, it is a journey. And then we turn to just a little further down in that first chapter, verses 9 to 11. Listen to these words. He gives us four things that help us in that journey to stay together. First of all, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from through Jesus Christ to the glory of God, to the glory and praise of God. Four things. First one is A, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. I speak for myself. I think I speak for everyone in the room. We need to spend more time on our knees and less time telling God how to do things. If we want to grow, if we want to continue down this journey of life, if we want to dance with Him truly leading us, we need to be communicating to the leader. I got news for you. Nothing you're going to tell Him is going to surprise Him. He already knows it. You want to change the leadership in your life? It won't happen without prayer. Point B, knowledge is a good thing. You need to be in God's Word. I need to be in God's Word. More and more and more. Get into Bible studies. My wife's not starting one. She's going to a ladies' Bible study that a preacher friend at Garden Valley, his wife, is leading. Lisa Enns is going to be leading. It starts tomorrow night. Women, if you're interested, get together with Brendan. Go to that Bible study. Get into a Bible study. Men, if you're not doing anything Thursday morning, come down. We got plenty of room for you at Time Out Restaurant. We're having a great time in our Bible study. Get into a life group. Join our Sunday school class. Start more Sunday school classes. We need to get connected to God and to His Word. Point C, heart knowledge is a better thing. Heart knowledge is a better thing. That's the discernment part of that passage I just read. Head knowledge is helpful. It's important. But you can know all the facts of the Bible and still not have a relationship with Christ. We need to have our heart in line with the one who's leading us in the dance. You want to be able to discern His leading, and that can't happen without you and God dancing the same dance and moving together. You see, I love that picture in the very end of the video. First, the picture of the Father stopping her from leaping off the cliff. And then when she goes up in the balloons, she's not up there alone. There's her Father in the balloons with her. See, God has promised to walk with us through the journey. And then there's the picture of the rest of them all going up in the balloons. And you see the final picture with five or six of them floating. And that's the church. You see, we're in it together. When a guy calls me and tells me I've got cancer, and we're starting down this journey of treatment, he needs to know that not only I, but his church family are there with him every step of the way. Because it's a partnership. And we're dancing the same dance with Christ as the lead. Point D, here's the result. It's very simple, to bear fruit. When we're dancing with Christ and He is leading us, we are going to produce fruit. We have it the highest obligation in the world to pass it on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And we need in the church to bridge that gap. So that all generations, from our little children to our oldest members in our church, are connected with Christ. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me. We talked about remaining in Sunday school, and I kept saying, no, don't go there. I'm going to preach on it. Anyway, here it is, John 15:4-5. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch. You want to be a branch by yourself? Listen to this. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain connected to Christ, who's the leader, the head of our church, the head of our lives. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's a promise. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can dance all the dance we want. But if Christ isn't leading the dance, it's of no value. We need to examine ourselves. We need to be keenly aware of the God things and the opportunities that God gives us to make significant impact into our world. Years ago, a typhoon struck a village in Vietnam. An American church sent them $1,000 to rebuild. They wrote back saying they had used just $100 on the 50 people in the church. They gave the other $900 to help those in the community. In 6 months, this church was running over 1,000 people in services. And they eventually grew to one of the largest mega churches in Southeast Asia. You see, we have a big God who wants to lead your life and my life, but we have to get out of the way. He wants to lead our church into things that only God can do. It's a God thing. You see, he's not finished with us. He's not finished with you. He wasn't finished with Rusty. And we got several months, Rusty and I and everyone that went out to go see him. And Rusty poured his life into each one of you guys who came out with me. Every one of you were blessed when you saw him. You see, God wasn't finished with him, and he's not finished with you, and he's not finished with me. It's time to decide who's going to lead. Who's going to lead the dance? Maybe you've been dancing your own dance for a long time. Already a believer in Christ. You've got some areas in your life, maybe it's your bankbook, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's whatever it is, maybe it's addictions. You're still holding on to those. And he may be leading in other areas, but you're not letting him lead that area. I want to encourage you to let go of those things. Get out of the way. Because it's a partnership.